Verse 37. Round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And you know what? He departed from them. He did what they asked him to. He went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. And Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. They didn't want Jesus, but he was going to slip his ambassador back in. Yes. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city. They didn't want Jesus, but they got the converted demoniac instead, preaching Christ. God knows how to tunnel under, don't he? Published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. It came to pass when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. There's two camps in the year 2000. And that's one bunch that don't want him. And they said, depart. And another bunch is waiting for him. On one side of the same sea, they were saying, depart out of our coasts. And Jesus turns around. With every footfall, he's walking away. I wonder what went on in their minds as Jesus walked away. Amen. Christmas Evans was going down the road one day, and he crossed the bridge and met a man and talked to him about Jesus. And the man said he didn't want Jesus. And Christmas Evans took a dollar out of his pocket. And he said, I'll give you a dollar if you'll never call on Jesus again. You okay? He went down the road, and the man standing there with a dollar in his hand. And suddenly it hit him. My God, he said, I've sold my soul. And he began to cry out to God. I didn't mean it. Amen. Praise God. And got saved. Hallelujah. Jesus knows how to tunnel under. Even those that say they don't want him might be close to the kingdom. But Jesus sails across blue Galilee. And when he clambers out of the boat on the other side, the people gladly received him, the Bible said, for they were waiting for him. In the year 2000, the year of preparation, the day of preparation for the day of all days, we'll find ourselves in one of two camps, maybe three, maybe four. Amen. We'll be either rejecting him. Let me alone. I'm not ready now. I got too much to do to mess with religion. Jesus turns around and walks away. Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He don't go where he's not wanted. Come on. And here he's about to have revival on the other side of the sea because a bunch of people were waiting for him. Amen. My, my, my. And then there came a man named Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue and fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him he would come into his house, for he had only one daughter. 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Somebody wants him. How many say, I'd like to have him, huh? How many say, I want him. I'll take him. The people thronged him. Praise God. I heard somebody telling, one of the preachers talking about how that most of the people, when they heard the law, they wept. Why? Because it was God speaking. And they knew they were hearing from God. Amen. I was in Brother Branham's meeting in Jonesboro, Arkansas, years ago. Amen. And God was speaking through him and unraveling people's lives and, amen, telling things about their lives. And people was just broke down sobbing, tears run down their face, because everybody in that house knew they were hearing from God. Amen. And God only knew the things in their lives. Praise God. Sister Rosa Hatfield, having trouble with her nerves, she told me about it. They told me about the wreck they had coming from the cotton fields, coming back home. And she got in Brother Branham's healing line in Jonesboro, Arkansas. And Brother Branham, in a voice barely audible with the microphone turned high, he said, how do you do, ma'am? He said, I see you're a minister. He said, I see you standing behind the pulpit. He said, and I'll tell you what's wrong with you. You're having trouble with your nerves. And he said, I'll tell you why you're having trouble with your nerves. You had an automobile accident. He said, I can see the wheels turning over. And he said, since then, you've had trouble with your nerves. Do you believe if God would show me, who never known you before, never seen you before, all these things about you, that God cares enough about you to heal you? Amen. And of course, her answer was the affirmative to all those statements. Praise God, as Brother Branham unraveled her life and told things about her life that no one knew but me and her there in that congregation that night. Praise God. Amen. And Sister Hatfield was healed. I was Sister Shetron's pastor. She too was Brother Gerald Green's aunt. And one of the Green girls had married a Shetron. They were all part of that great revival in Thayer, Missouri, in the turn of the century. And then again, they were still there when I began to pastor the church about 1951. Amen. Sister Shetron just came home from Springfield Hospital. I said, how you doing, Sister Shetron? She said, well, said, my heart's all right. But she said, it's my high blood pressure. Said, my high blood pressure is out of sight. Said, that's what's killing me. And she got in Brother Branham's healing line 100 miles down the road in Jonesboro, Arkansas, the same week that she told me that. Amen. And Brother Branham said, how do you do, ma'am? Said, do you think if God would reveal to me things about you that you could believe Jesus and he would heal you because you believed him? Yes, yes. He said, wait just a minute. He said, that woman up yonder in the balcony, she's got high blood pressure. And this woman standing in front of me said, she's got high blood pressure. And said, those two demons of high blood pressure are screaming out to each other for help since they come into the presence of God. Amen. Believe God, ladies, and you'll be healed. Amen. He told Sister Shetron, he said, I see you've had surgery. I can see the doctors standing around your bed. It's your heart. Amen. And then went through that action to get rid of those oppressing spirits. Praise God. And Sister Shetron, praise God, went home in a higher frame of mind. But a few things like that. And the whole congregation just convulsed into tears. Amen. Because God was speaking. And they knew it. God was talking through his prophet. And they knew it. Praise God. And here, God is moving. He had only one daughter. And the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Nobody could cure her. And one evangelist said she rather grew worse. Amen. She came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately the blood stanched. Woo. Amen. That's old English. Amen. Almost a slang, a term, stanched. We don't use it anymore, but it means it dried up. Stop. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, who touched me? This year, in the year 2000, some people are going to say, Lord, I don't want you in my life. And Jesus will walk away. Others will be waiting for him. Amen. Others will be looking for him. When he comes again, there's people will be longing for him. They'll be hastening, as the Bible says, unto the day of the Lord. Praise God. Ready, prepared. And there's going to be some more. Maybe right here in the highway of holiness, it's going to claw their way through the crowd. They're going to claw their way through all that unbelief, through all that doubt, and they're going to reach out with the last fragment of faith they've got and touch him and be healed. And Jesus will turn around to the crowd and say, who touched me? Amen. And the disciples will laugh and say, Lord, this crowd is so big that everybody's brushing against you. Everybody's touching you. And you ask the question, who touched you? Amen. Yes, but Jesus said this was different. Virtue has gone out of me. That means power flowed through Jesus. Praise God. Amen. And sometimes you can feel that power, folks. How many ever felt that power? Just hallelujah. Whew, glory to God. Amen. You can feel it just thinking about it. Praise God. When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? But Jesus persisted. He said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive virtue has gone out of me. He felt strength go from his body. Amen. In those early days of Brother Branham's ministry, when he was at his height, amen, he would minister so abundantly that all the strength would leave his body and he would pass out, and some of his helpers would catch him and carry him out of the building. He had gone the limits. Amen. It used up all his strength ministering. It takes a lot of strength to minister. Even under the power of God, it takes a lot of strength. Jesus said, I felt virtue go out of me. Amen. Great men have felt it and preached under the power of God like a man from another world. And then went back home and slumped in that easy chair. Amen. Completely exhausted. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. You see, we carry this blessing. We carry this message. We carry this anointing in earthen vessels. And even sometimes when we're having the most fun, even in the house of God, and the glory's rolling, amen, it's taking its toll on us physically. That's why a lot of great men have problems. Many times it's related to stress. And the people, the greatest men that I ever knew and sat under their ministry, when they came into town, they couldn't tell what motel they were staying in. Because first thing you know, there's a line at the door. People want to be prayed for. They was knocking at the door. When Brother Branham came into town, they'd have to hide him. That's the way it was with Jesus. He'd have to slip away. He couldn't get away from that press. He'd tell his disciples, come aside and let's get into a desert place, a deserted place, place where nobody was, and let's rest a while. And Jesus said, come ye yourselves apart and rest a while. Even men under the anointing and power of God, they need to rest a while. But people don't understand it. They want healing. They want help. They want counsel. They want to hear from God. And they couldn't let Jesus rest. And almost always, they found him. It was in one of those desert places. Jesus preached and ministered for 3 days without a Holiday Inn in sight. People slept on the ground in their clothes, wore the same clothes for 3 days. There wasn't a hot shower in sight, and no McDonald's and no Kentucky Fried Chicken neither. They were completely out of the country. I mean, there wasn't no mall in sight. There wasn't even any light pollution. That's what they call it today, you know. When you talk about city lights, they say get out of the city to see the meteor shower because there's too much light pollution. At night when he got done preaching, it was pitch black. The next day, at the break of day, he started again. Amen. And the people stayed with him. Hungry. 3 days, no Kentucky Fried Chicken. Not a bowl of soup. Amen. And the third day, Jesus said, send them away. Or the disciples said, send them away. And Jesus said, give them to eat. Because they'll faint. They won't even be able to make it home. They'd been in the greatest meeting that ever was. Jesus was healing. Jesus was saving. Jesus was doing miracles. Jesus was doing great things. And they were staying right with him. And Jesus and his disciples were supposed to be rested now. But they wouldn't let him rest. 3 days they stayed with him. Praise God. 3 days he ministered. 3 days and nights they fasted. Amen. They forgot about being hungry. They forgot about eating. Most of them did. Amen. And then Jesus says, give you them to eat. And Thomas figured it up real quick and said 200 penny worth of bread wouldn't be enough to feed this multitude. And Jesus said, well, how much have you got? And Andrew, that personal worker, found a little boy that had made the journey from his home to hear Jesus, saw the crowd and came to be in on the meeting and brought his lunch. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Amen. And Jesus said, make the people sit down in companies. And they did. And Jesus blessed 5 loaves and 2 fishes and began to hand it to the disciples. And when he got done, there were still 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Amen. And the disciples carried as fast as they could. Amen. I mean, have you ever had a hard time getting waited on in a restaurant? You ever had to wait a long time? Huh? Amen. Well, what do you think about Jesus, the only cook in the bunch? Amen. And 12 waiters to feed 5,000 men besides the women and children. And I mean, brother, I mean, we couldn't even got them all across the Ohio River in very good order. We'd had a traffic jam on the Ohio River, praise God, trying to get them across. Amen. But here he is by the seaside, hallelujah, and he's dividing 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he's feeding the multitude. Amen. And everybody gets their dinner in good order. And after they all eat, Jesus said, pick up the fragments. And it went out to pick up the fragments. Now, mind you, they started with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And now here they are, picking up fragments of fish that wasn't eaten, bread that wasn't eaten. Amen. Somebody's eyes was bigger than their stomach, like your children. They order more than they can take care of. I know, because I've been the cleanup man through the years. You can tell. Amen. We went to the restaurant. We didn't let anything go to waste. When the kid didn't eat it, I ate it. I was a cleanup man. Amen. Hey, we didn't allow nothing to go to waste. And Jesus said, pick up the fragments. By the way, I quit that. It's every man for himself. Amen. I eat everything on my plate today and 2 ice cream cones afterwards. Amen. But I didn't eat nobody else's. Hallelujah. Hey, Jesus will supply your needs. But he wants us to watch out about wasting stuff. Come on. There's too many hungry people in the world, Grandma said. Amen. To waste good food. Hey. Hallelujah. And people mixed their feast with their tears that day, I believe, because they had seen a miracle. They were ready to make him king. Some in the year 2000 will be ready for the king to come. And some will be expelling him from their coasts. Why did they want Jesus to leave their coast? Because the demons he cast out of legion went in their hogs and killed all the hogs. All the hogs drowned in the sea. Amen. And I'll tell you, them Jews didn't have no business dealing in hogs anyway. But they had a little sideline, you know. They probably didn't eat it themselves. They just raised them and sold them to the Gentiles. Amen. But they were in a hog-raising business. Unclean animal according to the law. Amen. Well, Jesus just put them out of the hog raising business. Now, if they'd have kept Jesus in their coast, Jesus could have given them a better task. Amen. They wouldn't have had to raise tobacco. They could have raised cucumbers instead. Amen. They wouldn't have had to raise pot. They could have raised corn. Amen. Wouldn't have had to have guard dogs and a gun, amen, to guard the patch either, amen. They could raise corn. Hey, some people think they can't make a living if they live for God. I'm here to tell you, if you'll welcome Jesus into your coast, you can make a better living. One you'll feel good about. I'd rather make $10 and feel good about it than to make 15 and feel guilty. Come on. Amen. But they counted only one way. They expelled Jesus from the cross because it affected their pocketbook. A lot of people in this election year in 2000 will expel Jesus in their vote because it affects their pocketbook. But if you will put Jesus first, you'll win out in the long run. Hey, there's too much fire and too much rust and too many thieves to put too much trust in material things. What we need is what they found on this side of Galilee. What we need is people that's waiting on Jesus. Amen. You want an automobile? Don't be like those folks that the Lord, Brother Vance Havner, told about down in Kentucky, that they prayed for an automobile. Amen. And God answered prayer, and that crazy thing never could find its way to church. They quit going to church after they got a car. Amen. You want a job? Hey, put God first. Praise God. God can make what you have, the little you have, go farther than the much that others claim. Amen. Others boast what they're making, how much an hour, how much overtime. Amen. But how much time are you giving to God? I live right beside Him. God blesses me more. Amen. With less. Hey, you can't live but in one house. One room. You can't sleep but in one bed. Isn't it wonderful? Sleep. The gift of sleep. Amen. Boy, what a gift sleep is. We get our rest that way. Hallelujah. Sister Colin had a hard time sleeping. She says, I snore. Amen. I tell her if she didn't have a guilty conscience, she could sleep too. Amen. But she gets mad because I go to sleep first and then she can't. Amen. Hey, hallelujah. I remind her that promise He giveth His beloved sleep. Amen. I understand. I understand very well, you know, that some folks have a hard time sleeping. You having a hard time sleeping? It's a good time to pray. When you're having a hard time sleeping. My son-in-law is building a new church. And he's having a hard time sleeping. He's already lost his first crew. They did get the roof on. And they left it. Took a bunch of stuff with them. Amen. And he told us in the last business meeting, about 3 hours a night was all he was getting. Amen. And I'll tell you what, it costs something when you shoulder the burden and responsibility of building a church. Yeah, it looks like people would find God's will and, amen, get the anointing of God and everything would be all right, but you still get tired. And stress takes its toll. And God speaks to your body and says, it's time to sleep. You know, when the Lord puts a sleep on me, sometimes He does it right in the strangest time, right in the middle of the day. You know what I do? I just pillow my head back in my easy chair, praise God, and take me a nap because I know the Lord's going to have me on the road. Amen. He don't give me that extra sleep for nothing. I've learned a long time ago, the Lord will get us ready for the emergency if we'll follow Him. If we'll learn to follow the inclinations and impressions and leadership of the Spirit, praise God. I don't mean some wacky, out of the ordinary thing that's way out left field off the wall. Amen. I mean, when God speaks, you know it. Praise God. And there's going to be some people that's going to touch God. And you know what he said? The woman saw she was not hid, and she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. She told the whole story. Amen. And he said to her, daughter, daughter, hallelujah. Brother Havis said he was praying, and he said God spoke to him, said, son, and he said, I wanted to jump right straight up in the air and say, did you hear what he called me? Yeah. He called me son. Amen. And I think this woman felt like jumping right straight up in the air and said, you hear what he called me? He called me daughter. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, as they get us a song, the richest people this world affords are the sons and daughters of God. If you're a son and a daughter of God tonight, you're rich. Brother Paul, going to hospital Tuesday, son of God, amen, you're rich. Brother Dale, going to have an operation, amen, you're rich. Rich. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you know Jesus, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Amen. In the year 2000, God's alive. He's still walking. He's still talking. He's still reaching. Praise God. Amen. Sister Hurst not here. I remember the first time I prayed for her. I was getting ready to go to Allentown meeting. 20 years ago and better. 21. I went to the hospital and they suspected cancer. She was going to go in for a lot of tests. So just before I left for Allentown, I prayed for her there in the hospital. And I felt it. I felt it go through my arm and hand and through her body. And I said, Sister Hurst, you're going to be all right. Praise God. They x-rayed her the next day, upside down, backwards, and crossways. Amen. And couldn't find anything. Praise God. Because Jesus had come on the scene and touched her. Since then, he's touched her a whole lot of other times. And he's reaching out and touching you tonight. Touching your life. He came to do you good. Stand. Father, break every fetter. Father, break every binding chain. Don't let nobody that's hurt me speak. Be among those that would beg Jesus to leave their coast. But help us to be in that company that's waiting for him. Waiting for Jesus, looking for Jesus to come. No matter how he manifests himself. If he comes in revival, if he comes in healing, or if he comes in the clouds to take us home, help us to be looking for him. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing, children. Come on, saints. Come on, break the way.
Amen. If I could just touch.
Hallelujah. Come on.
The you can touch him. His garment.
He still lives and works and answers
if
prayer.
I could just touch.
You can touch him.
Some part of his clothes. I know I'd be healed.
Oh, yes.
My sin.
Come on, just pray some more, children. Just seek a closer walk with God. You'll be glad you did.
Could just
come on, just seek a closer walk with God. You'll be happy about it. Amen. Yeah.
One time.
Come on, mom. Come on, son, daughter.
call on Jesus. Press your way through the crowd. Reach out by faith. Let your faith touch Jesus.
In the Bible we're told, one day when she heard, she came to Jesus, and she found what she needed for body and soul. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, just touch some part of his clothes, well, I know I'd be healed.
Reach out. Let your faith reach out. Let your faith reach out. Let your faith reach out and up, and God will reach down.
If I could just touch him, I know I'd be whole.